Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and this is Monday night, and we're sure glad you tuned in tonight to Raising Expectations, which is your show, which does exactly what the title says, according to the things you share with me. It raises your expectations. It's so good to have you with us, and as you know, we never take you for granted. We thank God for each and every one of you, and you're in our prayers when you request it, that the Lord would work in your life in special ways. As you know, I'm Pastor Joe. This is my wife, Melba, right here with me tonight. And we're excited to be bringing you the most wonderful people you're ever going to meet on this Raising Expectations team. You know, we're all Christians. We all believe in God. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We know that he came to earth to die on the cross so that we might live in him. New life in Christ with our sins paid for forever. We know what happens every day. We know where we're going when we die. It's great to be a believer, and it's great to face life each day knowing that the Lord is paving the way that he's planned just for you, and you can't wait to say all the things he's doing in the meantime. So tonight, it's good to have you with us again on Raising Expectations, and I'm going to very quickly, briefly go through our team so that you'll be able to know who they are. We've got a great program coming tonight. You're really going to enjoy Terry. She shares again with us, and she's a part of our family too. You know, we've done something different. We started bringing in people from all different places. Now we're developing a team of about 20 really key people that are family in the Raising Expectations team and kind of the warehouse we're all in, so to speak. And they come in and share, and you get to know them more, and you feel more at home with them. And they can share what God lays on their heart and hopefully encourage you even greater as you get to know them each and every week. So I'm going to go as we go, Melvin. We're headed which way?
West.
West, that's right. We're going west. We're going west out to Santa Barbara, California.
Hey, west, young man.
And close to Santa Barbara, right, guys? Santa Barbara, California has Dr. Paul Hall. And we're going to head out that direction. And there's Dr. Paul Hall. And he is in Lompoc, which is just north of Santa Barbara. And I'm on a street that's 2 weeks in a row. It's good to see you, Paul. How you doing?
Good. Thanks. Good to see you.
Today was a launch, right?
Yeah, just 15 minutes, 20 minutes ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Jealous.
That's pretty awesome. Tell them who it is again.
SpaceX.
SpaceX. Mm-hmm. The Vandenberg, but now it's called the
Vandenberg Space Force Base.
Space Force Base. That's it. There we go. That's great. Anyway, folks, so be looking up because it may have passed Paul and headed in your direction. You never know. So Paul and I, Dr. Paul Hall, has been a friend for so many years. He's a brother in Christ. He's a retired pastor, a teacher, and he's just a blessing to everybody who meets him and knows him and accounted a blessing. He's like a brother to me, too. So if all three of us head to the east, and we go to the East Coast, actually the south part of the East Coast, which would be the south. Technically, depending on where you're standing, probably within a few feet of the line. It would be in Dalton, Georgia. You'd find two very, very special people. And that would be Dr. Craig Thayer and Stephanie Thayer, his wife. Stephanie on the left and Dr. Craig Thayer on the right. This is one of the most precious godly couples you'll ever meet. They love the Lord, and everybody who knows them is blessed through their life. She's done so many wonderful things in her life. You can't wait to meet and know Stephanie, and go to our website and you'll see all the different things about everybody on the team, included with Paul and Stephanie, and just go to bbsradio.com/raising-expectation, and they are all there. Stephanie is there also to her right. You'll find that just below all of our situations there, notice and see them all. There they are. You'll want to go and check on those and see what's happening in their lives. Good things are happening. And to Stephanie's left and to Tank's right, there's Dr. Thayer, Craig Thayer. And Stephanie has been a great blessing to turn this man and be a great emphasis in his life. I love it when I see couples just nurture each other and really bless and grow the way they do together. Tank is a surgeon. He's a water polo coach. He's done all kinds of things like this. And the two of them together, Stephanie's one of the greatest moms, and he's one of the greatest dads you'll ever meet. And they are loved by their kids, and they come from a great background. They'll share sometime. We're going to be talking about the family coming up here in a month or so, and you get to know everybody even a little more. But Dr. Thayer there, Craig Thayer, and Stephanie Thayer. Just love you guys so much. They are people who give of themselves in so many ways and bless so many things, including our show. They're such a blessing. And so if we get joined together and hop a plane and head left out of Dalton, Georgia, and we come across Alabama, Mississippi, northern Louisiana, and we start our descent all the way down into the thriving metropolis of McKinney, Texas, we run into another favorite of ours, Pastor Ron Greer. And Ron Greer is right there. And in fact, he's found it. He's right there. We see him now. Ron still has a great bookcase there. And Ron also works with Men in the Mirror, and he's a counselor of men. And he's been a pastor, and God's used his life in many ways, just like Stephanie and Craig and Dr. Paul. These people have been through so many things, and God has blessed so many people through them. And I know of what I speak because I'm one of them. He's blessed us in great ways through each of these people. And every week, a lot of you share with me about what a blessing he is. And of course, this is my wife, Melba. We've been married now. Oh, let's think. Yeah. Oh, October 11th. Stephanie, I remembered it. October 11th. That's right. So it's not been too long, right? 2 weeks. Thank you. She got it. 2 weeks. I got it right, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
I got it right. Okay, good. It's been 2 weeks. And
Oh,
Melba
that's
is.
close.
That's right, got it right. Melba is she's been a counselor. She is a graduate of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, and we went to the same college and with Paul, and she has been a teacher, a program writer. She's done so many different things and helping people, basically doing seminars on young families and such all over the South there. And she's just a real blessing, and I'm excited to share her life and to share what she does. And I'm in trouble now. But anyway, no. He's okay. Okay, we're good. So, moving right along now. We have a guest tonight that all of you know, and she is family with us also. And Terry Warner hails from, I think, Dallas, Mesquite part of Dallas there. And she has a tremendous story to tell. She's an author. Trainwreck to Triumph is her book, which you have read. Many of you have shared how her book has impacted and blessed your life. She has a workbook, a study with it. She's really into journaling, as most of us are, to see what God does as a prayer request future. An excited presence to see in the past what he did each and every day. And Trainwreck to Triumph is a book that you're going to want to get a hold of. And so tonight she is going to be sharing with us, kind of thinking about the coming holidays, and she's going to be covering some things with us. And we're going to interact on these. And that's kind of the fun of raising expectations because the lives of all this great team of people that bless me and you each week. They share with our guests, and as the guest shares and we interact together, great things happen. So, and Terry Warner is with us again
Thank
from
you.
is there. And Terry, we want to welcome you. We just have a question for you, and kind of like to have this idea in thinking about the holidays that are coming up. Some feel really excited, some can't wait for that to happen, and some begin to feel a little bit hesitant and a little bit uneasy. So at peace, it's always the preferred outcome, as you shared as we were talking, for holiday family dinners. And that was so bad it made the woke news a while back. We remember talking about that. Don't even have your Thanksgiving dinner because it will not be good. Our Thanksgiving dinners are great because of the presence of the Lord. But how would you suggest, as you open for us tonight, add a perspective of the past pain and would serve their purpose and shift their patterns? As everybody thought about this, how would you give some insight on that as they review all that, how that can help them to be excited about what's coming. We'll all chip in with you later. Welcome to it. Well, before you start, we got to give you the right hand of the around the world.
There we go.
Welcome to Raising Expectations, Sarah. Good to see you.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to be back with family, and that is the context here. This time of year brings in a lot of expectations. Speaking of expectations, joy. We're looking forward. Many of us are looking forward to seeing family. Some find reasons where I'm sorry, mom, the plane is not going to take off. The weather is too nice and Florida is just not leaving. all those things. And it's really a sad situation that so much has come into the families and the friendships, and the holiday season many times a war zone, or a lot of memories surface because a lot of childhood issues, of childhood challenges that happen during childhood are never really dealt with. And so we get older and older and older, and they have festered, and there are more there than what we thought we had. And so in that context, if I've really seen also, I coach business owners, family-owned business owners, and I've told them whatever is in the closet, whatever is the grief, the guilt, the challenge that you have not healed from, guess what? It gets to grow in your business. It is going to be your number one challenge in business together, is because you couldn't figure out how to do life together. And this is going to become, and I see this in family-owned businesses all the time, that a lot of the peculiarities and the pecking order, if you want to call it, and the age, sections off, in the age, and what was going on in the relationships continue to grow. So that's just one thing I see. But in the families and for holidays, I wanted to bring forward something that maybe we could help people, help ourselves as well, to prepare for the holidays. Not with fear, but with faith. And look at the holidays. What if the H in holiday stood for healing? I know wholeness isn't spelled with an H, okay, but I'm just going there. Okay. I know Ron was going like she doesn't know how to spell wholeness. We got someone on who doesn't even know how to spell wholeness. That's really bad. She's a transformational coach and she doesn't know the transform part. Anyway, just having a good time with old Ron here is that sometimes these can be a breeding ground. Let's turn it into holiness. Let's turn it into healing. Let's turn this difficult time of pain that may have grown and not been healed, let's turn it into peace. And I believe there are some very clear ways to do that. It all begins with forgiveness, but I want to throw it out to you all on your thoughts about that. When you look at, you think of turning something, a lot of people, we're coming into the largest statistical time of suicides. Not necessarily over they're lonely, over they're not, over they're still dealing with the ghost of Christmas past, I call it, that they're working through, they're dealing with, and they're in pain. I particularly think it has a lot to do with lack of communication throughout the whole process and healing and forgiveness, but I'll let you all speak to that, what you think about it.
Oh, that's a lot.
Well,
I
I
think
know
it is a
something.
heavy time. I think we make assumptions that the holidays are always going to be positive and joyful. And I think that's the hope and the desire. But the reality is, for most people, there's at least some piece that is painful, whether that's loss of someone no longer there because it was great, or it's loss of someone not there and it wasn't great and you never got to, experience that, or the dynamics currently at the table, right? It's the people are the challenge. We need people, and people also are the problem.
Almost always the problem.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and studying Philippians, I heard something last week or read something, and it's in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. It talks about, at the beginning of the whole chapter, Paul was telling his testimony and what he had done throughout before he found Christ. And the one of the things he's saying is that happiness is found in three different ways. And one of them, exactly what you're talking about, is leaving the past in the past, you know, and moving forward. When I was in Texas, I had a coworker whose husband had passed away with COVID. And I had already gone through that grief process for about 3 years when I started working there. And she says, "How did you do it? How did you last 3 years?" And I said, "You know what? It's one day at a time. That sounds so simple, but it's what it takes. And when you release that relationship, and not the memories, but the hurt, when you can release the hurt and move forward, then there's healing in process. And you get to know people, you get to do different things and be active. And she was not there yet, but I prayed over her, and now she calls, she sends me texts saying she misses me, because we used to have a session every couple of weeks. She'd come down to my office and we'd talk. And so it's a matter of just leaving that path behind, that baggage that we carry with us sometimes. It just can't be let go. And then it talks about enjoying what we have now, living in the present. And sometimes that can be as difficult as living with the past. But at the time, this is where Paul is saying, "I pressed forward in this race. I'm not a runner. I'm definitely not a walker. But I do know, I've heard this, that if you do run, you're not to look behind you to see where everybody is coming behind you. You need to focus on what's ahead of us." And Christians, you know, we have that daily walk with our God and our Lord. And when I shared this with a children's group as a sermon one Sunday morning, and I said, "How many of you run?" And they all said, you know, everybody lifted their hand. I said, "Well, I'm glad you're running, because I'm not." So, but this is what you need to remember, is that when you, as you walk, your daily walk with Christ is very important. And then looking forward to what's before us. You know, back in January, I finally let go and let God do his job in my life. I told him, I said, "You know what? I'm tired of asking for a helpmate. It's your turn." And 3 months later, this guy appeared. And so,
Help me.
you know, yeah, you know, I had to kind of remind God, you know, but it happened. And I was reminded that things happen because it's in God's time and not our own. And it's been 7 years since I'd lost my late husband. And I thought, okay, if this is not going to happen, then move me forward, you know, change my attitude, and change what I'm doing and what my goals are, right? And let me live in peace, you know. And he answered my prayers. I sat in, after Joe asked me to marry him, I sat in my apartment in Texas, and I'm going, "How did this happen? You know, why did this happen?" And I just sat there, and he said, "It's because you prayed for it." And he reminded me, you know, with that Psalm 46:10, "If you still don't know that I am God," that's when I was listening, and I thought, "Oh, okay, I did pray for this, so let's move forward with it." So
Amen.
it's surprising how, when God does answer prayer, we're still questioning how and why.
So true.
Exactly, it's his timing that's important in what we do and what how we live it. So anyway.
Amen.
Ron and Paul.
Was a Dr. Paul there, but I think one of the overwhelming and sort of consistent things happening that I've noticed more and more is that the holiday, it's not necessarily depression, but like you mentioned, a childhood hurt, and I think those are the folks who struggle most, and it's for a number of reasons, because you get this family gathering during a holiday, it's supposed to be a festive time, and the people that who are your family get together, you reminisce about things in the past. And the person who has these childhood hurts and never had a great relationship at home, they're either reminded of how hurtful it was, they're reminded of what they've missed, and then the gathering itself is sort of a contradiction, and it's false, right? It's not what everybody makes it out to be. So then they're even more hurt by that. I'm just recently talking to a family where one of the siblings just doesn't have anything to do with the family at all, any family gathering at all, just only by phone or email. And they're devastated because she won't come to these two significant gatherings. And I'm going, my question is, all right, if she's been hurt and no one's dealt with that hurt, okay, how do you expect her to show up and act like nothing's happening? Because you're not hurt doesn't mean she isn't. So again, and the more you have, well, our experience in working with families and marriages, the more you have, I'd say, fatherless children in an environment, the worse that gets down the line. The more often I see this chaos at family gatherings, or just ignoring it altogether. And again, the child's been abandoned. It's something I did, or I wasn't desirable enough for dad and mom to stay. It's all my fault. And they start building. Satan builds these towers in their heads. So when it comes to family gatherings, you just remind them of the pain,
That's right.
and it
or the
becomes triggering.
inadequacy.
Yeah, it becomes triggering for them. You know, you brought up an interesting point. I have a friend whose family's father died when they were very young. And the only way for the mother to really deal with all the children, help manage the grief of all the children, was to kind of put dad in the closet as far as didn't talk about him. You know, they grieved, but
Oh, I
they
got you.
didn't talk
Wait,
about
what?
him.
Yes.
You
Dad
know?
in the closet. I'm like, wait,
Well, they
what?
kind of put, yeah,
Thank
really.
you.
It was the freezer, actually.
Yeah. And
I'm sorry, they just triggered a. I got a conversation with somebody to put their dad's ashes in the closet. Just
yeah,
a conversation
that could have
today.
been.
I'm like,
That could have been. But you know, they
okay,
put those
sorry.
memories. That's okay. They put the memories. It was too hurtful to talk about it, so they didn't. Also, and I'll say this one thing, and then I want to go to the what others have to say, is I think one of the major pains also is something that is so unspoken. First of all, there's not communication. And I really look at the ammunition in artillery for solving is communication, but people don't know how to bring it up. And that's one thing we'll talk about next week. Unfortunately, you have me here again, so or fortunately, however you want to look at it, but I'm a do-over next week. I'll be here too, but is that we're sitting around with presents, and it's painfully obvious by the time they're older that there has been a lack of presence. Not a lack of affluence, but lack of influence. There's been a lack of presence. The fatherless homes, I see we have an epidemic because of the Vietnam War, because of various situations where the father is gone. And so that influence is gone. And a mother, a single mother, does not know how to raise a husband. She knows how to raise a son. And so we have a great need for fathering and for there not to be this spirit of orphan that's so prevalent in our generations, and it's playing out now in accelerated quantities. And I said that's one thing. Yeah. But did you have something else, Ron? And we'll go to Stephanie and
No, I was just agreeing with you. I mean, I think that's one of those, again, our ministry, we have a research arm, and that's one thing we're focusing on now with churches and men's leaders, is that almost all the focus now is on, listen, we have a whole generation of lost boys and men who are men now, who are lost boys.
And
Because
loss and
again, it's an epidemic. I said, you figure divorce rates now are like 10 times what it was in the 1970s. So now you have the second generation. And if a child is from a divorced child, a divorced household, they're like 80 or 90% chance of them are gonna be, they're going to be divorced also. So
Oh, certainly.
and it really doesn't make, on one hand, you think it doesn't make sense because you think, okay, if you grew up in a divorced household, fatherless household, you would think, okay, this kid's going to, I'm never going to do that. It's just the opposite. So the second generation, it's gotten even worse. So like you said, all these fatherless homes, and the girls and boys both are damaged in different ways, and we're starting to see the fallout of it. I mean, the next level of fallout from it.
And their mother, I look also at some of the single mothers as they age, and that son leaves her whole life. I mean, her investment in a lot of her life just walks out that door.
Yes,
So
exactly.
the wife, her daughter-in-law, comes into a little dicey situation there
Yes.
because you're replacing, I mean, you're
Yes.
not always welcome. And
Yes.
so, and it's that thing because they haven't seen fathering. I'm
Yes.
doing in-home studies on my book, and we're having some amazing breakthroughs, and we're seeing the situation about the spiritual orphan coming up. And we talked about how Joseph, in scriptural days, we see coins. We found coins that say Pharaoh and Pharaoh on each side. Then there's one Joseph and Pharaoh on each side, and then there's one that's Joseph and Joseph. Joseph rose to the position he rose in leadership when Pharaoh bowed to him and said, "Father me." Because what Pharaoh needed in him was a father. And I think that is just, I love what you do, Ron, because it's such a calling to bring men, even if they don't have their own children, to the place of fathering, you know. So anyway, I'll lynch
Absolutely.
Stephanie, Craig, Paul.
I think the situation is that, go ahead,
No,
Tank.
Paul, go
Wait.
ahead. You go.
I think the situation is, I appreciate what you say, Terry, about communication. Communication is, it's a tough nut, along the way. I mean, talking about it. I did some reading. I tried to do some reading today about forgiveness, and I just think that's a well that you can just keep drawing out of. I mean, if we could ever get a lock on that. My dad used to say, when somebody hurts you, consider the source. And he said his dad told him that. So my dad's dad, passed that on. And one of the things I ran across today is that, understand the other person without excusing the other person. Sometimes they do some pretty bad things, and it's really tough. But understanding the other person, I think those of us who follow Jesus for any period of time, we know what it's like to be wounded deeply. We do. It's a part of the walk. It's a part of the journey. And we grow from our pain, and we learn to minister to others. We become what somebody said, wounded healers. And we have to remember that. But a thing I always try to remember too, when somebody's really in my face or tearing up my heart or, doing those kind of things, I really do try to remember. One of the things I heard Mark Lowry say one time, he said, "We're all freaks looking for our way home. We're all broken. We're all busted. And
Mark.
Jesus is trying to, he has healed us." My professor at Hardin-Simmons, Dr. Harris, I remember one thing he said. He said, "Being a Christian is becoming what you already are in Christ." And I thought, that's really insightful. What I'm opening my heart to be today is what I already am in Christ. And what a discovery, that in Him we are forgiven, and it's not held against us. And I think that's a wonderful thought that we keep in mind, that when somebody's walking all over our lives, or somebody we don't like in our family is sitting across the table at Christmas time or whatever holiday it might be, to understand that they're broken, they're wounded, and to open our hearts to them is inviting more woundedness.
Yes, right.
Because it's
For it
just
to
one of
play
those
out.
things about life, So this whole thing, the whole thing about communication, daring to open your heart to another with the understanding that when you open yourself to another, you've done two things that I understand. You've given them a wonderful gift because you've opened your heart, but you've also given them a fearsome weapon because they can turn that around and throw it right back at you. But I think Christ has called us to be vulnerable. That's one of the strengths of being a Christian, is that vulnerability. So things that just go through my brain, as we keep working and keep walking,
It is a walk. It is a walk. It's a
It's a
journey,
journey.
you know. There's some U-turns, there's some little snags in the road sometimes.
Dang, did you have a quick thought there too,
Yes.
Ned?
Just man, Paul, you stole my thunder.
Sorry.
Any of you guys speak, even Terry, I just listen to the wisdom. So
Oh, that's a
and
precious
I
thing too.
find
Mom at 18, my dad at 20. My dad struggled with trying to have Thanksgiving and Christmas and, without mom, it was different, right? So it's like, but I love what you said, Terry. Make the theme healing and just post it. Like you walk through the door this vacation, this event, this Christmas is going to be about healing or Thanksgiving. And that's what we're going to talk about. And like Paul said, you may have never heard the other side of the story, right? They behave that way, that you've incriminated them for years,
Yes.
and then you find out, well, man, they've just been fired from their job or the story, right? So there's a reason behind maybe what they weren't doing. So yeah, but I love your theme. Dr.
Yes.
Marshall said one thing once, qu one quick thought. I never forget because you guys are really digging this so well. He said, always remember when you find it hard to be humble and hard to forgive, remember how much harder it was for Christ to hang on the cross for you so that you could be forgiven.
Yes.
So true. And I'm so glad you brought that up, Joe, because something was really pinging my heart the this afternoon. On I read the scripture the other night. The Lord got me up again at 3 a.m., which is fine. It's good, but it's always 3 a.m. I just
At least the last
so
watch.
anyway, used to be 10 after 3, so we're getting better.
Okay.
I don't know which direction we're coming, but the scripture in Matthew 18, 30, 30, 33, 34, where he's talking to the servant about, you did not forgive the person that had trespassed you, the person that owed you. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant? That's fellow servant. That's who we are. In all the words that describe us, that should be the words that describe us, right? And it says, and his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay due. 35. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. And the thought that came to me today was, forgiveness is so important to God. He gave everything
That's right.
for forgiveness. And then if we can't forgive, I thought how sensitive, how tender that must be to him, because forgiveness was what made his choice. Love, forgiveness was what made his choice. That had to happen, and he was willing to pay that cost. And so I think there's a special, sometimes we say sometimes there's a special thing in importance, there's a special weight on it, a special pressure on it. I think there's a great deal of pressure, not like we think in our lives as pressure, but there's a great weight on forgiveness because he was willing to give his son to procure it.
That's right.
And that's got to be pretty sensitive. It would be for us, but think about God in that. And I want to share something with you that took place the other night because someone watching this may be helpful for them. I teach so much on forgiveness, and it's been so much a part of my life, but it's also so much part of what I struggle with. I've worked through it, I've gone through it, I've forgiven, the layers are there, I've forgiven. And I had, that's where I thought I was. And I'm just being, this is us, this is transparent, us and the entire world. And as we know it, it's kind of like when you're a preacher's kid, you share your dad with everybody. It's kind of like that's how I feel like right now. But I got up, I felt I couldn't sleep for some reason. I had been teaching all night and or teaching for a few hours, but you know how it goes on all night. You're still hearing, you're still experiencing what took place in this space in the room. And so I get up again at 3, and I couldn't sleep. And I said, Lord, what do you have to say to me? And as I started praying, I only way I can describe it, how sometimes there's a spirit of worship? You go to a church and there's just the spirit of worship. Well, what happened to me in my living room alone with my two puppies was the spirit of forgiveness. And it was like something blew in the room. And instead of it being this corporate spirit of worship, it was a unified me with the Father spirit of forgiveness. And it was very different than anything. I'm 71, almost 72. I've never experienced anything in my life in the 6 million church services I've been in my life. Have I ever experienced? And God would bring up names, and I said, I forgave them. He said, you didn't release them. This is a new level of forgiveness. It's almost like I could hear him say, this is where grown-ups live. Okay, this is where grown-ups live. You know, you haven't been here before. Okay, we get that, but you know, and this spirit of forgiveness just was in the room. And I could feel these people's names came up from childhood, from young, from old, from whatever situation. People I had to kind of try to remember what the situation was, but the name came up. And it was like I've been going through this study about Christ in us. It's the Christ in us that is the strength. It's the Christ in us that gives us the ability, the desire, the capacity, and the willingness to even in our nature forgive. Even in our nature to be able to say truly, fully, completely, wholly, and just have, I was became immersed in forgiveness. And as I became immersed in forgiveness for probably an hour and a half, 2 hours, joy came in the place of what I forgave. Joy came in. And honestly, I can't say that someone would know me and say, this person is so joyful. I'm like a doer. Yeah, I'm like, okay, let's get it done. What's the strategy? Make it happen. Boom, boom, boom. I'm deep in the word. I'm deep in what I do. And I'm there in my heart, in my spirit. But sometimes I'm such a doer, I want to do it for God. Because he's so busy with all these people that can't do it, you know? Not. Just joking, you know, kind of. And so sometimes I step in the place and go, okay, I can do this. I know how to do this. I know the thing to do. One, two, three. That's what we do. Boom. And God has been really reminding me lately, no boom, no boom. It is me doing it through you. I don't even need you. Okay. I don't even need you to do it. He doesn't need me to do anything, which I always thought he did. You know, for a long time, I thought he really needs me to do this, you know, because we're raised to perform, you know, especially women raised in the church, right, Stefan? Right. Melba is, said Joe Schofield there. So I was like, Melba is to move into that. And I will tell you, my life has been different since that experience because it was Christ in me. I was truly forgiving through him. And have other things come up? Yeah, they have. But the other thing I wanted to mention is forgiveness, because someone may think they keep telling me how to forgive, but they tell me to forgive, but nobody tells me how. We really don't. We say all the reasons, but we don't say how. And Joe, you had a great analogy about this. Do you want to share that about the car and the young man? We give him the keys to the car and we tell him to go drive safely.
You know, I always had these wacky ideas. He was talking with him. And I said, we always give our son a car or something, you know, and then we tell him to go. We give him the keys, tell him to take off. God says, here's the car, here's the keys, but it's not going anywhere until I'm ready for it to go, ready for it to
I'll
drive.
let you know when it's got gas.
That's something he's got to do. That's such a good point you're making. How many of us sometimes need to just stop and think, what is it that I'm trying to do that I know God already has a plan and that I'm standing in the Word, and rather than run over me, which he's had to do in our lives a few times, don't expect to hear any amens there, but I think you're thinking with me. And instead, he says, just step aside and let me put you in the car and drive you down that road. Yeah, that's a good point you made.
You know, a lot of people don't know how to forgive, and it can be hurt. It can be hurtful. It can be hard. It can be Are you kidding? I cannot. This is unfathomable. I can't put my head around this. I can't even believe, God, you let this happen, some people think. I cannot believe this happened to me. This happens to other people. That's the reality of what some people feel sometimes. I felt it myself.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
And even thinking about forgiveness was so torturous. I understand the torture when it talks about torture. I understand that. I understand waking up in the middle of the night, 3 a.m., 2 a.m., 4 a.m., and being tortured with what took place. I understand living inside trauma. I understand things happening that I can't even put a name to, that were just not possible. But God showed me how to forgive, and I want to share this with the viewers because God showed me how to forgive. It's in my book called Forgiveness As Easy as 1, 2, 3. And how to forgive as easy as 1, 2, 3, I believe, is this. Ask God to forgive your unforgiveness. Ask God to help you forgive. Ask God to show you how to forgive, and then speak it out with your mouth. Speak out blessings, forgiveness first, their name. So if their name is Susan, I forgive Susan. Say it out loud. I don't care if you think it. I don't care if you know it. I don't care if you feel it. I don't care if you believe it. That's you do your best, and God will do the rest. And you speak that forgiveness out as many times as you can every single day. Walk. I'm a big believer in prayer walking. Go out and walk and pray and declare. Because the faster you pray, the faster you walk. The faster you walk, the faster you pray. You're walking along, and all of a sudden, the prayer is taking on a mind of its own, a passion of its own. Like they say, when you walk, the first 20 minutes you're pushing it, 21 minutes forward it's pushing you. Same thing with prayer. Don't tell me no one's out there who's never said, gotten into prayer and going, wow, I'm saying the words, I'm not feeling it, you know? Has anybody else felt that?
Yeah, that's
And
right.
then suddenly God says, thank you. I'll take this time. I'll take it. And he starts energizing, you know, that passion. So confess, I forgive this person, their name. I bless their name. I speak prosperity and mercy and wholeness and eternal life over these people, their name, not just these people, their name. And my testimony is I did this. I prayer walked, and for 1 year I did that. And one day I looked up after months and months of saying this out loud, and I had forgiven, which I could not seem to do. I had forgiven. And sometimes it's, Father, I choose to forgive, and I choose to release. And releasing judgments and offenses is very important, because you forgive does not mean you released. Release. And as I was praying in that spirit of forgiveness the other night, literally I could feel myself just pushing out and forgiving and releasing, forgiving and releasing, and releasing and pushing that away from me into his hands. And I just wanted to share that he gives us a desire to forgive. He gives us the capacity to forgive. And then there's times that he just carries us, and he starts, the forgiveness is there through him. And I want to bring up one quick thing here, because I know we're running out of time, is forgiveness 2.0 is living with the proclivity for forgiveness. You know how there's
Yes.
some people, you know, and boy, anything happened, they're going to carry an offense. They'll die with that offense. They're going to die with that grudge, honey. They will not back up on that. Truck is not going in reverse. We know them, and I can't know, tell you how personally I knew them, but probably used to be one of them, but okay, maybe not. Maybe not. And so I got this image as we started this call tonight, a vision, an image in my mind, where we talk about forgiveness 2.0 is pre-paving your path with forgiveness. So,
Yes.
have you been down those little roads where it's been raining a lot and there's not a lot of room, and the rain has overwhelmed the reservoir, the creek, the ditch, whatever you want to call it, on the side of the road? And every now and then, when that road dips a little bit, You're driving in the rain. If that rain were forgiveness, and there's water that's spreading across the road a little bit, that every now and then as you're driving, there's water spreading across the road. If that were forgiveness and that road was your path to wholeness, the path for the rest of your life, and you're just, there's so much forgiveness on the side of the road. There's so much forgiveness that you expand that you're just driving through the residual. I talk about residual remnant realities in my book about those residual things. You're just driving through the residual of forgiveness, of how the Father has rained down forgiveness and how it is setting on the road. And as you're driving, you're feeling it splatter all over everyone, just that forgiveness. I just saw this in my mind and thought, if we can learn, if we can develop the skill to forgive at that level, what would change?
Terry, I'm going to jump right in there on that spot for you. Boy, that's the way to say it. How many times do we remember hearing very quickly growing up, as Christians, you need to forgive and forget. And then I think it's more what you're saying. It's not forget. Sometimes we always need to forgive, but sometimes we don't forget because all of a sudden, when we've gone down the road in different ways, like what you're saying, the remembering becomes a blessing, and it empowers us to realize the
To
power of
learn.
God and the love of God. Look what we learn. And from that point on, we become a prayer person for that person we never wanted to forgive, or that group or that situation. No, I think that's a beautiful way to say it. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue this again next week. We're going to get to the next part. But as we wrap up tonight, we're so glad you're with us. And Stephanie, could we ask you, call upon you again to put a word for us? We sure appreciate you. Thank you so much, Steph.
Sure. We want to encourage you to go to the website, which is bbsradio.com/raising expectations. There you can see all of our goodies. There's a little highlight of last week's show right there at the top. When you start to scroll down, you can see a variety of ways that you can donate to the program, and we greatly appreciate that. You can keep scrolling, and you'll find there are prior shows that we have. You can even search if you're looking for a certain guests that we have, that kind of a thing. And then if you keep going, you can find different ways to connect with each of us co-hosts, learn a little bit more about us. And then I think there's also Pastor Joe and Craig's book as well. So lots of goodies on the radio website, which is bbsradio.com/raising expectations.
Amen. And it's there for you, folks. We got some great things as we continue to grow and think about things coming up for you in the months ahead. So, Terry, thank you for being with us tonight and blessing us with your insight and what
Thank
God has
you.
given you and
I'm
shared.
honored.
Give your dad a big hug. I always like to see PKs give their dad a hug. I always tell my kids,
He
where's
gets a hug quite a bit of the
my... Yeah,
time.
there
He
you
has
go.
three daughters. Yeah, he has a lot of hugging,
Amen.
a lot
I
of
can
hugging going on.
only imagine. But in any event, Ron, it's good to see you, brother. We're praying for you. And Paul, good to see you up there, P2. All right. And Tank and Steph, God bless you and keep you. Great days are coming. Amen. Love and appreciate all of you. And say hi to your hubby for us, David. We're praying for him too and all the things that God's doing
He
there.
needs a lot of prayer. He lives with me.
Oh.
He said last night, you're extra. You're extra. I said, don't talk about the hips. No hip talk. No hip talking.
Respond to be, you're just figuring this out now, like
Yeah,
you've been
really.
here a while, you know?
Wrong choice of words, Dave.
That's why it took him 50 years to marry me, I guess.
No comment.
Have to have Dave come on and say, Dave, tell us how it is to be a brave
Profile.
man. Share with us what it
The
means
brave Dave.
to
you. Every now and then.
There you go. All right.
All right.
Thank you
Thank
guys
God.
so much. Love you
Next
all. Thank
week,
you.
thank
Give
you.
us 30 seconds or 45 seconds on what we're looking to next week as you take us through this again.
Okay, next week we're going to talk deeper about forgiveness and then move directly into communication. How do you start the conversation you don't want to have? How do you create engagement? There are ways to create engagement, 300% stronger engagement. How do you say things in a way that is not, you want it to say, sound nice, but it's rather abusive? How to be, how to create peace versus pain, and how to move people away from it. And then understanding when we forgive, how do we forgive? Apologies, you'll just see my personal pet peeve here. One of them, many of them, is one of many, is apologizing is not asking for forgiveness.
Right.
You
Yeah.
have to create a participation. And so we'll talk about good ways to ask for forgiveness and paying attention to patterns in us. Because when we forgive and forget, we also don't get to learn about the pattern. And so how to look at
Right. It's
ourselves.
gonna be good, ladies and gentlemen. You don't want to
Yeah.
miss your show
Remind
next
me, I said we'd talk on this, okay?
Yeah. We will. We'll remind you.
Okay.
And the third
Paul,
week
Paul
we're
said
talking
that.
on
Paul,
misery.
get that down.
I got that. I
Yeah.
got that.
Did you get it, Paul? It's in the notes.
Oh,
Some of you
yeah.
remember Paul is our scribe. He takes incredible notes. So he's always taking notes up there. So be careful what you think, because he has a pen that can even tell what you're thinking. He takes notes. It's real good.
Paul, I'll get a letter from Paul and I'll go, Paul's still writing letters?
Still
I'll forget
writing
you.
letters.
There we go. We got the base cup. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks,
Thanks for
guys.
being with us tonight. TJ, thanks for being our engineer. PBSRadio.com, thanks for being our station around the world. We love and appreciate you all tonight. And we'll see you before you know it. Have a blessed and a wonderful week. And
Bless
remember,
you all.
take a
Thank
prayer
you.
walk and see what God can do. Just watch
I
out
will.
for him. There you
I'll
go.
call you at 3 in the morning.
Ah. What's that one step? The last, what's it called, Tank? The fourth watch?
Fourth
Fourth
watch,
watch,
fourth
yeah.
watch.
Greatest thing
Yeah.
again.
Yeah, we're all on that
I'll
team.
be
Who
going out
knows?
to breakfast when it's 3 o'clock for you guys.
That's right.
Hopper
Bless
dinner.
you, Melba. Congratulations to you
Thank
both.
you.
Yes,
Thank
God
you.
bless you. God bless you, dear.
See
All
you
right.
guys later.
Bless you,
Have a
guys.
great
Yeah.
week. God
Bye.
bless.
All right. Bless.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.